Is 2:06, currently overcast skies in Wausau. Temperature of 26 degrees. Wind chill factor of 15 at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up on the program in about 8 minutes or so, we'll be joined by John Robinson, Marathon County Board Supervisor, former mayor of Wausau, former member of the State Assembly, bringing him back because last Thursday there was a long meeting for the Marathon County Board. It was the budget meeting, and a five-hour debate occurred, and it was a very difficult budget meeting for the Marathon County Board of Supervisors. Ultimately, they passed a 2023 budget of more than $221.5 million, approved tax levy of just under $55 million. There were some controversial aspects, some supervisors looking for cuts in nonprofits, looking for cuts for the Marathon County Public Library System, and more. So a lot to go over, and I want to just basically get the gist of what it all means for the citizens of Marathon County, and nobody better to talk to about that than Supervisor John Robinson, and he'll be coming in and joining me at about 2:15, so in just a few minutes here on the program on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Coming up later in the program, after we talk to John, getting all the details on it, I want to discuss the library issue again, because I do think it's important. I think beyond the dollars and cents, it has a lot to do with who are we? What are we trying to accomplish here? And the idea of banning books. It's 2022. We are in the year 2022, and we have this controversy about banning books. And then when a book isn't banned, and as we've talked about this in the recent weeks, where it's moved from the young adult section to the adult section, not being good enough for some people. They cannot have that book anywhere near an adult can actually see it. They want that book out. They want it banned. And if that doesn't happen, they're going to try and take away the budget for the library. And fortunately, the Marathon County Public Library avoided a drastic reduction. There was a reduction. And again, budgets talk about priorities, and that's something I want to talk about with John Robinson as well. What are the priorities in Marathon County? And if you're trying to basically gut funding for the library system in this county, what's that say? What does it say for those folks that were trying to do that? What does it say for the folks that were trying to eliminate funding for a number of nonprofits that provide so many important services for the people of Marathon County? So again, I think we're going to talk details with John Robinson, and then later in the program, I want to kind of pull the covering over what it all means for me, and I'm not an expert in the dollars and cents and the budgetary process that John is, but I have some ideas on what does it all mean, what does it mean for priorities, and what does it mean for now, and also what does it mean for the future, because I'm sure these questions will not go away, because each and every year, got to go back to this process and talk about budget. So we'll talk a lot about that here today on the program. Some of you probably getting bundled up, getting ready to head east tonight. The Green Bay Packers in action tonight. Thursday night, cold night. Boy, when I was younger, the Packers never played a home game on Monday Night Football late in the season. They played early in the season when it didn't get cold. But over the last 10, 15, 20 years, and I think it's because of TV money, the networks still want those games in Green Bay. They like nothing better than a cold night in Green Bay with some snow flurries coming, great pictures, and it doesn't do much for the fans, I'll tell you that much. And tonight, the Packers taking on the Tennessee Titans. Not sure where you're going to see it. I know it's on Amazon Prime. Thursday Night Football now a new long-term contract with Amazon Prime. So if you got that, you'll be able to see it. Otherwise, the local markets do get it televised. So Green Bay and Milwaukee TV markets, those are the two TV markets for the state of Wisconsin that are Green Bay Packer local markets. So I don't think you get it on TV here in central Wisconsin unless you get a Green Bay station. So I'm not sure. And the thing is, I'm not sure because I don't care because I'm working tonight. I hope you can join me tonight at 7 o'clock. We have high school girls basketball as the Marathon Red Raiders in action against Auburndale. That should be a good matchup in the Marrowwood Conference South Division. Both teams won their openers on Tuesday. Marathon hosting Auburndale. Coverage begins with the pregame show at 7 o'clock and the opening tip at 7:15 right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. So, again, you don't need the pack tonight. You can tune in, listen to some high school girls basketball. Support the area athletes, the student athletes, the people around you, friends and neighbors down the road, right? Hey, don't tell me that I haven't tried to sell it, okay? I know it's a big climb when you got the Packers playing against my high school broadcast, but we're going to have fun tonight at Marathon, and again, hope you can join us right here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. We're going to take a two-minute break and then come back, and John Robinson, I see he has arrived. I'll bring him into the studio, and we will talk about what happened at that Marathon County budget meeting last Thursday. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show, each and every weekday from 2 until 4 p.m. More to come here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXEO, and on the Civic Media app. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXDO. Again, overcast, 26 degrees in Wausau. Glad you could join us with you until 4 p.m. this afternoon. And right now, very happy to welcome back to the program from the Marathon County Board of Supervisors, John Robinson. And John, again, thanks for coming on over, trying to explain some complicated things to us and our listeners.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, last week it was, and you said it both Wednesday and Thursday, some rather long meetings talking about budget issues. Before we talk about some of the issues specifically, were you pleased as a public servant how it went? I guess, you know, in terms of, because this is the meat and potatoes in a lot of ways of your job. Are you happy with the way the process worked last week?
Well, it's been a long process. And I think we made some assumptions that perhaps didn't bear out, and we're going to survey the members of the board to see if we can do things better in the future. But we had some tight time frames under which to operate. The budget was presented to the Finance Committee the same day that we had the initial hearing or discussion of it, so it would have been nice to have had it earlier in the process. But due to a number of factors, changing the finance system or the finance and personnel system, staff commitments, not knowing what the final numbers were from the state, mm-hmm. it was a little bit later than I think some of us would have liked, and therefore, we've got a deadline. We had to have it adopted by November 15th, and we had our county board meeting scheduled. It would have been nice to have had a little bit more time to spend some time. We also made the assumption, we had detailed presentations to the Human Resources, Finance, and Property Committee, and those are available and videotaped and available on YouTube for members of the county board to look at it. I think we assumed that everyone would look at it, but it was obvious that not everybody took the time to listen to those presentations and develop the background and understanding of the budget. So we need to do a better job of presenting the information to the policymakers in a form and format that is leads to a better understanding of the process. But we've got a large number of new members, and they're learning the process, and we've got to give them time and look for ways to help educate them on the interrelationship, because it is an operating budget and it is a capital budget. Mm. And If you cut something on the capital side, it doesn't necessarily change the operating budget, and I think we need to do some educating in that area.
Interesting to see the number. 2023 budget, $221,568,593. Approved tax levy of $54,838,660. Big numbers, big numbers. Before we talk some specifics, generally, were you, and I asked you this before we actually went on the air, satisfied ultimately with what the result was at the end of the evening on Thursday night?
You know, we have a budget, and I think it's a good budget. So, yes, from that perspective, I think that there were some discussions that I wish had gone a different direction. The effort to cut the library, the initial proposal was $365,000. It was amended to $69,000. Basically, it was retribution for their failure to act in a timely manner relative to reviewing certain books, whether they're appropriate in the library. While people said it was not, most of the people that spoke to in favor of the resolution referenced that issue. And I don't think that we should use the budget to censor or force compliance with censorship. There's a process that the library board needs to go through to evaluate each book on its merits, and they are in the process of doing so. They could have done it better, and I think in hindsight, wish they had done it quicker. But I'm not sure that cutting $69,000 out of the library budget was a prudent move on the long
Real quickly term. On that topic, and we'll talk more about it. You say it was about the timing. Is it about the timing, or is it about the result that people were upset?
Well, it's probably a little bit of both. But the library board has a process, and they need to have copies of the books available to a review committee. They were having difficulty getting extra copies of the books, and they I think could have tried to accelerate that a little bit more. But I think that was a lesson learned by the library board. The library is unique under Wisconsin statutes. They are creatures, and if we give them money and we give them levy, it is theirs basically forever. If they don't spend it, it goes into fund balance. And I think one of the things that the administrator has tried to do, he had already cut the budget by about $350,000 because they had a larger fund balance. Some of the supporters of the amendment to cut said that there was additional cuts that could be made. But the problem is that right now they're not in anything that they buy inside the building, a library, a book sorter, the computers, does not go through our normal capital improvement process that most of the other departments go through. So they use that fund balance to pay for those. There is a need on a long-term basis to develop a better understanding between the library board and the county board on how we budget for capital improvement programs. But the state statutes call for that fund balance at the end of the year to stay with the library.
And I heard about that topic actually in the last week or so. In the end, the supervisors passed a cut of $69,000. It was below the originally proposed cut of $365,000. Bottom line, the library, they are where they need to be in terms of that balance and the funding they're receiving?
I think that they can make do with that amount. They will have to think through their budget and how they allocate funds, but I'm hopeful that they can do that without any service cuts to any of the communities, any of the satellite branches of the library system.
I don't know whether or not this is within your purview or not, but that whole conversation disturbs me because the idea when you even hear the term book bans, it's such a 1930s kind of mentality. After this whole discussion, what is the mentality within the board on that whole idea? Is that something that is being pushed by a significant amount of the county board? Is it a problem that we're going to have to keep an eye on as we move into the future? What is the mentality behind that right now?
Well, I think there were a number of issues in play. Some of the objections to the books came from the fact that they were located in the children's section. Should they have been moved to the adult section or somewhere else in the library? That's a fair discussion. That's why the review process takes place. That aside, there were a majority of the members of the county board that apparently were concerned enough that they voted to cut the budget of the library. So I think that sends a clear signal. I would hope that we not get into forced censorship or bans or you know, I think it's appropriate sometimes to question where the books are located, whether it's appropriate for the youth, juvenile, or adult section of the library, and that's up to the library board. We don't want the county board making those types of decisions.
You mentioned that there's an independent board that actually works on these questions when somebody comes with a question about a book. Do you personally, as a member of the board and somebody that deals with the budget every year, do you feel like that is a system that does work properly, generally, even if the timing may be a little bit slower than maybe some would like? But do you believe that the current system in place with the library for questions like this is a good system?
I think we're seeing how it works right now. It's unfolding as we speak. But I think, to their credit, they did take one of the books that there was an objection to, and they did move it. So that process worked. I think you want an independent review panel to look at it, make recommendations to the library board. You do not want 38 county board members making decisions as to what books are in. If somebody has an objection to the Quran or some other book, should we remove it? I don't think that's the purview of the county board. I think it's our job to expose people to different viewpoints to make sure that it's age appropriate when we look at it, and we should rely on the library board to make those decisions.
Again, we're talking to John Robinson, Marathon County Board Supervisor, here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. There's some other issues I want to get into, but for folks that ask you to maybe describe ultimately what was decided on Thursday, what were the biggest aspects of the county budget that jumped out to you, that these show? Because whenever we talk about budgets, it talks about priorities, because whether it's a family budget or a government budget, where you spend your money shows the priorities. What are the priorities of the Marathon County budget this year?
Well, I think there were several priorities. There was a commitment to our staff. We knew that our staff were falling behind from a competitive pay perspective. We were losing people. We had at one time a 17% vacancy rate because our wages were not competitive with others. We were having trouble with the highway department, with corrections officers in the jail. That led to us shifting people from Marathon County Jail to surrounding jails at a higher cost. So we needed to address some of those things, and we did that through a class compensation study, a classification and compensation study, and increased wages in those areas where they needed to be, and that was funded through the budget. In order to do that, we had to hold the line on supplies and expenses, and that was done, and I think at the end of the day, we did a good job. You know, when you look at, there were significant increases in the budget. There was about $18 million of increases, and where did that go? Well, a significant amount went into highways. We had some opportunity costs. We've been pursuing federal grants, and because of the bipartisan infrastructure law and other things, we've been somewhat successful. But we've got a number of highway projects that are out there. We're behind and some of our replacement. But in terms of the highway, $8.6 million of new spending in highway. We had debt service increases, both associated with previous borrowing for the county to play some catch-up. If you recall, there was a period of time where we were delaying needed maintenance. Mm-hmm. That led to problems with the library roof, with the jail sagging, and it cost us significantly more to address them on a deferred basis than we should have on a routine maintenance basis. We're trying to get more into a life cycle, end-of-life analysis of our replacement. We are the fiscal agent for the Central Wisconsin Airport, and it's a joint airport. They had an increase in debt service and operations of $900,000, but none of that falls in the tax levy. So the airport is independent. Special education, again, is only allocated to those districts that use the service, but it's part of the county budget. We're the fiscal agents. There was an increase of $84,000. We had an increase in support for other agencies, which is primarily our our information technology department, where we're forced to bring in new software and procedures to deal with cybersecurity and implement our new employee resource program, which will save us time and money in both finance and in the hiring process. We increased North Central Healthcare funding by, we put $1,850,000 into North Central Healthcare to deal with losses that they incurred associated with the pandemic, associated with the nursing home, behavioral health services, and the juvenile health facilities. And there was an increase in the Adult Disability Resource Center. It's a multi-county center. Our levy is fixed, but there was an increase in federal grants.
We have to take a quick break for a news update. We'll kind of come back, hear more from John Robinson on the budget in Marathon County as we continue. Time is 2:28. It is the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com and mobile devices. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Again, we're talking about the Marathon County budget. The Board of Supervisors passed the budget last Thursday evening, a busy Wednesday and Thursday for the board, but the 2023 budget was passed. And something you just, and again, we're talking to John Robinson, one of the Marathon County Board Supervisors, and John, you were just saying, right before we came on the air, about a couple of points you wanted to make, and I think very important points in terms of the budget, in terms of fiscal responsibility.
And again, this budget was one that saw us try to maximize contributions from other parties and sources, whether it's state or federal funds, primarily federal money that either came directly from the feds or passed through the state. But the budget itself, the tax rate per $1,000 of valuation, went from $4.55 a thousand to $4.19 a thousand.
How significant of a drop is that historically?
That is a very significant drop. It's we've been dealing with, if we have reductions, incremental reductions, this is a significant one. One of the reasons is we had over an 11% increase in valuation last year because of inflationary pressures. But the county's budget, we have multiple components to the budget. And we've got a $219 million budget. About, you know, only $54 million of that is levied on the taxes. The rest comes through sales tax, license fees, permit fees, state aid, transportation aids, grants from the federal government, and our aid from the state has been static. Both in terms of shared revenue, there's been no increase in recent years in shared revenue. If it wasn't for the Weston Power Plant, our shared revenues would have actually gone down, but we receive a payment for them. Our general transportation aids to pay for our highway system has been going down $250,000 this year. So the state has not been a very good partner over the past, in spite of the governor's efforts to increase spending. The legislature has not gone along, and we're bound by a levy limit. We can only increase the tax levy to support our county operations by what's known as net new construction. Net new construction in Marathon County last year was a little over 1.7%. Mm-hmm. 3 years ago, 61 out of the 72 counties in Wisconsin had health care insurance premium increases above their net new construction levy increase. So we've got to do something different and work with the legislature to get some relief. What it does is it forces people to go to borrowing because their budgets are so tight, and that's not a good short or long-term solution, and we need to be better partners with the state. So we've been trying to be as fiscally prudent as we can on the county level. There are some, you know, the continuation of many good programs. The thing, you know, I encourage people to go to the budget online and look at the administrator's budget message. He talks about each of the departments, what they've worked on in the last year, what they'll be working on in the next year. One of the things that we changed in the health department was we went from the Start Right program to the family nurse practice model that was cut $140,000 by the county board, but I think that we can survive that. That what that will mean is that the contract with the current provider, subcontractor, will end quicker, and they'll transition to the program sooner. But it's meant to deal with at-risk families, to try to work with those parents and children to make sure that we don't have adverse childhood experiences. And it's a very effective program, and it's worthwhile continuing. One of the debates that we had was over the continued partnership or relationships we have with many nonprofits.
Right, and I wanted to bring that up because I thought that was very interesting. And in terms of the discussion, I think you were putting on a little bit of an educator hat in addition to being part of the big discussion as well during that discussion, wasn't it?
Well, these are relationships I firmly believe in. Government can't do everything itself. We're not good at everything. And we have chosen to partner with a number of organizations. And years ago, we supported a lot more, Crime Stoppers, Partners in Progressive Agriculture, the Valley Fair. We've stopped supporting those. But we have maintained relationships where I think it's advantageous to the county. And we, on an annual basis, developed performance standards on which they need to meet in order to continue the funding. But the funding goes to programs like United Way's 211 program. It's a place where people can call and contact for referral services, where are crisis services provided, what services are available for low-income housing, where do I do X or Y, and it's a very valuable service. And I was on the Board of Health at a point in time where they had a receptionist that was triaging that. People would call the health department and ask many of those questions. Mm-hmm. By relying on the United Way to do it, they were able to reduce the receptionist support and depend upon United Way to keep those services up to date. And it's a real-time service. They used to have a publication with those services in it, but that was not timely. And United Way has done a very good job of serving Marathon and other counties in the area. A second one is the women's community. Mm-hmm. The proposed cut there was, I think, $55,000. And the women's community does exceptional work with victims of domestic violence and intervening on their behalf, providing shelter. And it's a critical service to those most vulnerable families and individuals, and we need to partner with them. North Central Community Action Program receives about $53,000 of funding. That's for their housing program and referrals. And I've had constituents who have lost their homes through tax foreclosure that have wondered, what do I do? Where do I go? And they've been very helpful in helping them find housing, and I think it's a valuable service. The Marathon County Historical Society does a very good job of not only gathering and protecting our records for eternity, we hope, right, but also providing education on the importance of history in the county. A very important function. And then finally, the Wisconsin Judicare has a mediation program that deals with civil matters and in primarily evictions, but it is something that takes 225, 250 cases away from the courts, and they mediate it. It's a very valuable service that frees up time for criminal justice proceedings and other things. And the $15,000 we spent in there would be is a small investment in trying to streamline the process. And those are partners. They're important partners. They save the taxpayers' dollars. They streamline the systems. They are readily available to the public, and they're worthwhile and continued funding.
And you mentioned something I think is kind of important to underline. You're not just giving these organizations the money. There are performance standards that you have proof that these organizations are doing what they say they're going to do, and you have evidence that they are providing the kind of services and the positive impact that the county wants to see from these organizations.
Yes, we do. And it started under Administrator Carger and then Deputy Administrator Leonard worked on those first contracts, and they have served the county well, and there are reporting relationships, and I think it's just sometimes a question of Is everybody aware of what those are? And we'll have some healthy discussions going forward, which is appropriate. Are these the best organizations? Are they the only organizations? Or should there be more or less? But we can't close the door to partnering with our community members. If they can provide a service better, we should look to them to do that, as long as we can have the same or better level of service and look at cost effectiveness.
Talk about the family keys, because it sounded like that was a difficult discussion at times.
Well, it didn't come up in the budget. It did on the floor last Thursday. It did come up at committee level. The Family Keys is a program, a pilot project from the state of Wisconsin to Marathon County, using federal funds to try to reunite children with their parents.
Keep them out of foster care.
It's families first. Yep. You know, typically what happens is people encounter the justice system and the children are removed from the home. And there was legislation supported by the Republicans in Congress, as well as the Trump administration, which called for families first and trying to get those kids back to the families as soon as possible. The Family Keys Project is one that looks at trying to provide housing opportunities. We talked about it earlier this year, and the proposal was to have a congregate living environment, and people were concerned about that and exposing people to members that weren't their family. So they went back and redrew it and proposed it. It was recommended by the Health and Human Services Committee on a unanimous basis and was incorporated into the budget. There were some that just don't want federal funds. They're concerned about what happens when the money runs out. Well, without that money, we have the responsibility as a county to pay for the foster care and the placement of those children if they're not reunited with the family. So it actually saves us money, and it's good for the children, and it's good for the families. We need to make sure that there's an appropriate amount of monitoring of the situation, but I think it's a good program. We'll learn from it. If it doesn't work, there are some other pilots taking place elsewhere in the Wisconsin, including Wood County. I think we can learn from them and adapt the best one going forward.
Again, we're talking to John Robinson, Marathon County Board Supervisor, here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. I'm going to ask you a question, because there's some things that when I'm talking to folks, I try to sound as intelligent as I possibly can, but there are times that I just don't understand. And this was actually, I was reading one of the stories about your meeting and about the budget. Could you talk about what is a negative levy limit? Because I one of the stories mentioned a negative levy limit that the chair, Mr. Gibbs, talked about the consequences of their proposals and their attempt to be fiscally responsible, said the proposed levy cuts might take the county closer to a negative levy limit. What does that mean? I have to admit, I was a little confused about that.
I don't know if there's a definitional explanation of it, but what the concern was.
If I'm an idiot, please tell me.
we can, you know, I mentioned the net new construction in the levy. So we can increase our levy each year from what it was the previous year for the operating side of the budget. In this year, that was 1.7173%. If we kept cutting and we didn't take advantage of that, we would potentially lose that going forward. And, you know, we're subject to the same inflationary pressures as everybody else is. We did use some American Rescue Plan dollars to pay for some utility costs, which we hope are one time and not reoccurring. But if you lose that, you may not be able to recapture it in future years, and therefore you're stymieing your ability to provide those needed services, whether it's highway, the sheriff's department, or others. And the concern is that if you drew down and made too many cuts, you would get below that that increase, allowable increase in the operational budget.
And that's a factor, that maybe folks didn't realize it, that when you're, you know, people, I think it's, there's not a, you know, a, you would call it a major issue with people that want to be fiscally responsible, but at the same time, you have to use the word responsible. And whether it's, you know, some of these organizations that bring positive, both in terms of what they do and also in terms of the bottom line as well.
We want to make sure that what we don't get into is cyclical budgeting, looking at one year at a time. There are long-term obligations, and if we cut budgets one year, whether it's on the capital side or significantly on the operational side, there are long-term consequences. If you delay repairs like the library roof, like the jail floor, they come back and invite you sometimes at the most inopportune times, and then you don't have the options that you have if you deal with them on a systematic plan basis. And I think it's in everybody's interest to have a long-term capital plan. We're working on one for our county highway system through 2050, and how do we fund those bridge replacements and road reconstructions and resurfacings in a way that maximizes state aid and other things. But you want to look more than just beyond one year.
We got to take a quick break. Can you stick around for a few more minutes?
Yes.
Okay, very good. John Robinson, Marathon County Board Supervisor, joining us here on this Thursday afternoon. It is 247, 26 degrees under mostly cloudy skies in Wausau. We'll have a few more minutes with County Supervisor John Robinson coming up next. Again, it is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. You can tune in online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And also, again, download that Civic Media app as well. More to come. And welcome back. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Again, we are joined by Marathon County Board Supervisor John Robinson. Again, appreciate his time coming in to explain a lot of what happened last week when the Marathon County Board of Supervisors were able to pass their 2023 budget. Before we talk about a couple of other quick elements before we wrap things up this hour, you talked about the state aid issue. And there's been talk, and I think there's a lot more optimism that something will get done in the next session of the state legislature. What would it mean, based on what you've heard in terms of some of the proposals put out there, what would it mean to the county if something did get passed in the next session?
Well, it depends upon the amount. But right. We've been, you know, stagnant in terms of the dollars coming in from the state. And Marathon County, again, receives shared revenues based upon the equalized valuation, and we receive a utility payment. But those have been steady for 10-plus years. They have not kept pace with inflation. They haven't kept pace with mandates. What they do is they shift the burden to other sources, and one of those is the property tax. And again, we're limited in how much we can increase it. So it's had a detrimental impact. And general transportation aids have gone up. In the past, what happens is if on a state level, but Marathon County hasn't enjoyed it, we haven't been very prudent in terms of scheduling our projects. And if we get a cut in state aid, the first thing they want to do is cut the projects. And that there's a six-year average. You get reimbursed based upon six-year average of spending. And if you keep cutting, your aid goes down and you're in this perpetual spiral.
Right.
And so one of the reasons why we're pushing for a plan through 2050 is to reverse that trend. This year, through our securing, Jim Griesbach and his department has done a great job in capturing federal funds and other things. But there are still local match requirements, but it should result in an increase in the near term on our general transportation aid.
That is so vitally important, is making sure that there's somebody there that you can trust and that does know where to look and where to find that, because there could be nothing more frustrating than to know that there was money left on the table, correct?
That is, and we don't always know, and it's usually competitive. So how do our projects stack up to Wood County, Price County, other counties? I think Jim's done a good job of articulating our need, and we review the condition of the roads on an annual basis and the bridges, and we're behind on the bridges, but we will continue to work to play catch up.
Before we move on to what's coming in the near future with the board, any final issues you want to kind of discuss on what we just went through in terms of the budgetary process and the budget that's been passed for 2023?
Sure. One of the differences between the administrator's budget and the final budget was the amount of the tax levy. The administrator came in with a proposal that would have fully funded through tax levy the debt service on North Central Healthcare. A few years ago, the county board approved a borrowing to update the facility there for behavioral health inpatient, the nursing home, and others. And it was predicated upon North Central Healthcare's ability to pay back the debt at no impact to the levy. But the pandemic hit, and that had a significant impact on their ability to generate money. So the original proposal was to put the $3.3 million on the tax levy, which would have resulted in the net result would have been a $74 increase in taxes to the average home in Marathon County, a $193,000 home. Uh-huh. The county board looked at that, and we took that off the tax levy, and we decided to fund next year's debt service payments for North Central Healthcare out of the county's reserves. That's something we can't sustain over a long period of time, but we can on a short-term basis. Over the next 90 days, North Central Healthcare Executive Committee will be working with the county to develop a legal agreement under which those funds are repaid over the life of the project. So we were able to reduce the levy increase, which we heard loud and clear at our public hearing, and I think protect us in the future. Now, it's predicated upon North Central being able to perform, but I think that there are some encouraging signs based upon discussions that we've had. We'll get a report at the county board level in January about how North Central Healthcare is doing. At 3:00 today, they'll be looking at their budget for next year. I think that it's a prudent way to address the situation on a short-term basis, and hopefully we'll have that money repaid to our fund balance.
You just said that's one of the things that's coming up, and now as you get past the budget, what else are you looking at as a board supervisor? What's coming up with the Marathon County Board in the near future?
Well, we continue to need to look at a number of things. I chair the Human Resources, Finance, and Property Committee. We've developed a work plan. We're targeting a number of areas. We'd like to evaluate tax increment financing and its impact on the county. All too often, communities get approval for a tax increment finance plan. They say that they can have it paid for within a 23, 25, 27 year period and then go to the legislature and ask for an extension. Right. Well, that impacts the rest of the taxpayers in the county, and we're concerned about those extensions. And, you know, if a project is proposed at X level, it should perform at that level. So we're going to put together probably a task force to look at that. We also need to look at how we handle tax delinquent properties. And there was a recent change in the law, but after you're tax delinquent for 3 years, the county considers taking it through tax deed and tax foreclosure. In the past, we've done that, and then we've turned around and sold it. Recent law says that any gain on that has to be shared with the homeowner, so we'll have to figure out how do we do that. But we want to streamline the process and try to make sure that we take those properties quicker. What had happened in the past is many times we were waiting 10, 12, 13 years to take it. Mm-hmm. But at each and every year, the county pays every other jurisdiction their proportionate share of the property tax bill. So if you've got a $30 tax bill and $20 goes to the local unit of government and the schools, and X goes to the technical college, Marathon County would front them the money. We would then be the banker holding it. And we held on to those sometimes for 13, 15 or more years. After 10 years, we can't collect on those. So we have to do a better job for the interest of all taxpayers to make sure that we have a better process for reviewing and taking title and you know, working with the homeowner where we can and giving them a chance to keep the home. But ultimately, if they're going to foreclose, we need to do so in a more prudent manner. We're also looking at how do we deal with surplus county property. Social services will be relocating from Thomas Street to the healthcare center. Mm-hmm. That building will be there. There's a proposal to move the parks and conservation zoning planning and other entities off of River Drive. How will we dispose of that property? We've got a number of other parcels. What process do we use for disposing of that property, selling it, or transferring it to other units of government? We need to also look at our employment practices and how do we get a culturally competent workforce? How do we, you know, there have been recent reports of a worker shortage of 130,000 people. How do we make Marathon County an attractive place to attract the talent we need going forward?
The system is amazing. It really is. I mean, you hear everything that needs to be done. Our system of government, it truly is amazing. It's amazing that we have people like you that are willing to serve, and appreciate you coming in and talking about it, John.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
John Robinson joining us here on Bow Falls Radio, WX.